In prayer, thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. We'll just continue from where we stopped a few hours ago. That's on Sunday. Go all the way with me to Luke's Gospel 24. Let's go through Luke 24. Let's go through Luke 24. All right, let's go through Luke 24, okay? And let's see what a few things we could say today. Wow. All right, look at Luke 24, verse 24. Certain of them, verse 24, chapter 24, Luke's gospel. Certain of them went, which of those rather, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, one of the things we've said over time is that the word they expounded deals with explanation, that deals with interpretation, that is, that also involves translation. And we've said over time that when it comes to Bible interpretation, you must understand that a couple of languages will be involved. There will be the language of the original speaker, language of the original author. There will also be the language in which the Bible is written in today. There will be the language of your word as well. You know, so it means the language is a very fundamental tool and vital kit in Bible interpretation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very vital key in Bible interpretation. So one of the things we've done over time, over the last few weeks in this series particularly, is to pay attention to how we can explain scriptures or how to explain scriptures, right? We went through certain examples in John 14, John 15, paid attention to the use of certain words in Luke 24. If we go all the way to Luke 24 as well, Luke 24:44. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Now, this is an example of where translation comes in very handy, because we said the word their law does not necessarily mean, you know, writings of rules and regulations that are placed in a certain place. I said the word their law is the word in the Greek, that is the word nomos, and it's the word that speaks about, you know, doctrine teaching, right? We said it could speak about instructions, speak about doctrine, could also speak about teaching, and could also speak about, you know, writings as well. Doctrine, instructions, teachings, writings. We said that's what the law. I said that these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then what happens in verse 45 is very astonishing. The Bible says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Yeah, and that they may understand the scriptures. And verse 26 now says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. It's very, very important to see those things that are written there. So it was written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, right, according to the scriptures, like, you know, like Paul was saying, First Corinthians, according to the scriptures, this is the gospel that Christ will die and resurrect. So same thing has been, you know, communicated here, you know, that Jesus will die, suffer, and actually rise from the dead. Now, we said that if you look through Matthew's gospel 16, Matthew's Gospel 16. We're trying to explain Matthew's Gospel 16. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said something about John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" So Simon Peter will answer and say that thou art Christ, thou art the Christ. Now, this was what took our study back into the writings of the prophets, right? And we said that the use of that word Christ is a word that we needed to understand its translation. Now, we said in the Greek, the translation of the word Christ is the word Christos, right? And the word Christ in the Greek, in the Hebrew rather, is the word Meshach or Mashach. Are we together? Meshach, either of them, right? When I mean either of them, I'm not saying they are two different words, but I'm talking about how you choose or I choose to pronounce the word, right? It will always differ from pillar to post, but the spelling of the word is what I've given you over time, right? And so that's the word anointed, and that's the word that speaks or that has where you have the root word Messiah. Okay, so we said that we went back to Jacob's story and saw that through Jacob's experience, and we could see that Jacob did something. His action was something that was recorded or referred to as he anointed the place, right? And in doing that, by default, one of the things we saw is that he saw a vision first in that place. And we said the vision is about, you know, what the work of the seed will be, what the work of the multiplication of the seed will be all over the earth. Now, one of the things you must understand is, you know, in Bible interpretation, we need to be careful to ensure that we allow the context of whatever we're reading to explain itself. Altogether, right? We need to allow the context, because, you know, one of the things you are, if you're not careful about, we'll just pick a word, get an interpretation for it because we've translated it and apply it in every scripture. And that's not really the way Bible students really should approach the Bible. So there will be certain things that you would know. For instance, we've used the word seed to teach about Christ, right? Truth is, we don't necessarily need to now apply the word seed to every conversation without considering the, you know, entire context. What would context mean? You know, a lot of times you hear me say things like, you know, consider the pretext, the post-text, you know, but even more so than that is actually what was the scenario behind the conversation. Do you understand? That's another way to look at context, very importantly, right? What's the scenario behind that conversation? What's the environment? What's the environmental structure, right? What are the happenings that surround that conversation, surrounds those conversations, right? So if you consider that, you also consider the narrative of the pretext, the post-text, the immediate context in which the text is written, or in which the text finds its life or derives its life or meaning. You find out that, you know, you need to just pay attention to that fact about Bible interpretation, you know, as you grow in the Christian faith. Very, very important. So one of the things as well we saw was from John 1, when, you know, you will hear the narrative about if you had believed, Moses gave the law, for the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth, right, came by Jesus Christ. We taught that as well by going back into what Moses really taught, right? And we said that if you use that, look at the word law, nomos, as doctrine, it means you can also replace it with, you know, the law of Moses or the teachings of Moses, the doctrines of Moses. Now, all together. So the teaching of Moses, right? So listen carefully, right? You know, the fact that we said law is nomos, and it can speak about writings, doctrine, instructions, right? And we said that it's not necessarily about, you know, commandments and rules and regulation, does not mean that the doctrine of Moses will not have rules, regulations. Do you get that? Right, don't miss the point. Remember, we saw this last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago, right? There are certain concepts that there will be A alone, there will be A, some A, B, some there will be A, B, C. For instance, I was talking to you of an example of a friend of mine, a lady who had reached out regarding how she didn't know that Adam was not the name of the first one. I'm like, how did you get to that conclusion, right? Well, probably she heard it from someone who would have thought usually, or you'd have usually heard it from someone, or, you know, your mind would have thought that, you know, because Adam as a word is used for mankind in Genesis chapter 5. We saw that on Sunday, right? I hope you remember that, right? It just really means that everywhere you see Adam, it's mankind. No, do you understand? Right? Adam too will feature as a name, right, in the writings of the epistles as well. Right, you know, the first Adam, second Adam, you understand? So you can't just pick one narrative and just run with it with every. Yeah, that's, I know why I'm saying this, but very, very, very important. All together, right? Very important. So if you look through One of the things, some of the things we've said over time, we're trying to arrive as to the fact that the man in Christ is a man who Jacob in his vision would have seen, or men in Christ would be men that Jacob saw in his vision. So it means that there'll be a vision as to what God is doing, or is going to do in the earth. Altogether, right? Jacob will be a man that would give an example to. I would say that before even Jacob, right? And you saw the likes of Isaac, even though we didn't pay as much attention, but you also saw that that was the same promise to Jacob that was given to Abraham, right? So it means that, like I said over the last few weeks, you said that, you know, God is a God of generations, right? God wants to come into a generation and stay in that generation right until the very end. He wants everyone in that generation. So it means that you and I, we have a task. We have a role. We have a responsibility. You see, get yourself so involved in the doctrine you are learning such that you are able to communicate what you are learning. And particularly not just for, you know, and random strangers, but also inclusive of those who are your offsprings, those who you give birth to, right? Those who are probably even your younger ones, right? Yeah, it's very, very, very important to be able to have that sort of influence, right, in your family. It's very, very important. And sometimes, you know, we understand the fact that there is the concept of our familiarity, the concept of, you know, what, you know, some of us would call sea finish, some of us would call it, you know, diverse names. But the truth just remains that, you know, there's such a thing called, you know, having in mind those that are around you. Yeah, very, very important. Having in mind those that are around you. Very, 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 very important, right? So we said that that's something we can see in scriptures. If you look through scripture, you see lots of consistencies with parents, their children, or their siblings. You know, even Jesus would have that experience as well. It's something you should aim and look forward to. So God will, you know, find a man like Abraham, and Abraham will, you know, by faith act accordingly, right? Actually to believe in what God is doing in the earth. Are we together? And in doing that, he will communicate that same truth into his child Isaac. And Isaac as well will do the same thing for his child. Not just their child or their immediate, their child as in one, but child as per children several. I want to get that. So, you know, see, Jacob will also have a narrative, right, to communicate that, you know, there'll be the Judah narrative, there'll be the Joseph narrative. Just ensure that you have that mindset that, you know, those who may be your parents, it can be your siblings, it can be your little ones, right? But you should be able to understand that God wants a generation saved. So the fact that you as a human, right, believer in your family, it means that God is interested in your family. I want to get that God is very, very interested in your family. So we look through, you know, that narrative of Jacob, the promise of Jacob. I said the promise was about the seed. And the truth is, and for the narrative of father, son, child, father, son, grandchild, or grandson, if you pick that consistency of, you know, the promise, if you look through the promises that were made to the three of them, there's that consistency, right? From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, right? And the truth is that if you find there's a consistency, it means that the promise of the seed will actually speak, right, to the seed for each of the categories. What am I saying? You will find out that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were made the same promise, or the same promise was made to them, right? It means that once you find out an interpretation of one, you sort of have a bias, or lack of better words, you have a concept or an idea of what the promise will be to either the father or the grandfather, or vice versa, any way that, you know, fruits your boat, right? So we saw that Jacob had a vision. We saw that he anointed the place. We saw that it was taken into account that he anointed the place. I said that he called the name of the place Bethel. We said the word Bethel is coming from Beith Elohim, right, which is where you have the house of God. Right, and the house of God really particularly will speak about, you know, his temple, his work in the earth. What is he doing? God is in the business of converting the earth to be his house. Isaiah 6:6, his dwelling place. Where my throne, the heavens is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is my place of rest? Altogether. So we see that the concept of rest as well, we also saw it in some of our teachers this semester, this series, right? We also saw that the concept of rest is not how a lot of us view it, particularly when you look at the overall concept of rest in scriptures, right? You see that people have that ideology of rest means to cease from work as per you don't even labor to even show your good works. No, that's not really correct. Altogether, you'll find out that when you look through Bible interpretation of the word rest, rest. It's actually a call to labor, a call to live a life of sacrifice, a call to live a very sacrificial life for others and for people who are around you. Very, very important. Okay, so we also, you know, spoke about, you know, how what's it called? Jesus, for instance, it would be, you know, the let me say that differently. So Jesus would be, you know, the seed. For instance, Christ would be the seed, or the seed we've spoken about as Christ, you know, to Abraham, same thing as to Isaac, to Jacob. And we saw that through Galatians. I was going to say something different, but I thought of the implication. So we now also went through you know, touch not by anointed, do my prophets no harm. I would say that God, you know, in his bias, and that's me trying to use the word bias loosely, okay? God in his bias, in his infinite mercy, in his love, will use Israel. That's a word we used on Sunday. We use Israel as a pilot, right? I would say, what's pilot? A pilot just really means that which goes ahead to shows an, to show an example. That's another word the Bible uses as first fruits. I want to get that first fruit before the guy, you know, like I said, a concept will derive its life from within the context, from with a text rather will derive its life from within its context, even though there will be the bias of the entire, you know, text of the scriptures, right? For instance, you know, you have heard us talk about how first fruit is used for, you know, Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:9 shows it, but you also go to 1 Corinthians and see that Paul will call a family my first fruit of the household from Asia altogether, and first fruit from Asia, they will not speak about Christ, but first fruit from Asia there, and we speak about his first convert, so to say, altogether, but same first fruit. And that's why you see, for instance, blessed. We talk about blessed. Yeah, so you hear us say things like the word blessed in scripture is not, you know, particularly in the epistles, not you and writings of Matthew to Matthew, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, not particularly used for, you know, material prosperity. You won't even find it altogether. But if you look through the narratives of the use of the word blessed, you find out that one is fortunate or speaks about being fortunate, right? Being privileged. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We just replace that word blessed with fortune. Right, it's more fortunate, and of the truth is you should consider yourself fortunate that you have to give. Are we together? Right, when I look at another scripture, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, what you're going to be seeing from that concept is actually, you know, is speaking of praise or a conversation of, you know, saying something that is worthy of commendation. That's the word, yeah, commendation or commending. Are we together? So, you see how the words will derive its life from within its context. I just gave you first fruit as an instance, for example, right? So, you must find out that it's just like the same thing, rock. Right, very easy for us to go through the rock narrative and just, you know, get ourselves to hit our heads on the rock, right? But you must be careful to know. So when Jesus will say, upon this rock I will build my church, right, you know, there'll be that conversation around where, remember I said something, the context, right? And I said context will not just be the pretext, the post-text, and all of the narratives around the grammatical structure, or yeah, I think I used the word grammatical structure, right? You also think about where is the narrative being done, why, and one of the series you are doing in yourselves, it's the name of Jesus, right? And you've done the first teaching for some of you in yourselves, and you do your some of you in the coming week. You know, one of the things we did towards the later part of that series was to point attention a little to, you know, the importance of names and places. What exactly do you know, do we talk, why Jesus called the, you know, the man from, man of Galilee, man from Galilee, man of Galilee, or, you know, why is the concept of Bethlehem, what's the concept of Bethlehem? One of the examples we taught as well was Bethel. Right, you know, we also thought about, you know, why was Jesus baptized where he was baptized, what is it about, you know, the mountains he went to. Same thing applies to when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against. So we said that in that building of his church is both a finished and ongoing. Altogether, right? We saw consistently that, you know, the seed of David was to build altogether, right? And Solomon in the recent will build, but the building that Solomon will show us will be a pilot altogether, a pilot to demonstrate or to show us much more than that, that God wants the entire earth to be his dwelling place altogether. So it's very, 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 very important. Just like Israel as a pilot nation, and God wants the entire earth to be his Israel, that is his resting place altogether. So what is God building today? God is building, you know, his church. I would say the church there can speak about a community. If that is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia is the word church, called out. And it's very important to also know that when you are called out, you are not just called out to be in isolation. You are called out to be together with. Hallelujah. What I just said now will come in very handy in our next series and next and the series after that. Next series, we're looking at, what exactly is it about Christian meetings, Christian gatherings? What exactly is it about, our fellowshipping together as a saint, and what do we call special meetings? We're going to tackle that in the next month. And that will lead us well into, conversations around church honor, church order. All right. So it's very, very important for you to understand that you have been called out. That's what ecclesia, right? Called out, right? Called out from, or gathered from, then called into. So you've been called out, then into. You've not been called out into isolation. You've not been called out into a neutrality. You've been called out, then into a reality. Very, 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 very important, right? So I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. We said that's a finished and an ongoing work. You ought to see it in that form, because the building of the church is not done, right? Yeah, it's not done. It's going to be continuous. It's going to be something that God is going to keep doing in the earth, and he will work with the people who are dominant on the earth, that is mankind. Are we together? So very, very, very important. Start looking at seed as a concept. We start looking at, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. We look through that narrative in Luke 8 as well, verse 11, the parable that Jesus gave in Mark 4, right, around, it's who sows the seed. I would say the seed is around the world, from Luke 8, 11. Right, I would say that's the use of agriculture, right, or farming to communicate God's multiplication or God's will on the earth. We went back all the way to Genesis 1, verse 11 to show you how, there's promise around how seeds will, fruits producing seeds after his kind, right? So in Genesis 1:11, went through, Genesis 1:26 as well, 27:28, God making man in his own image. We saw that last week Sunday, and started looking at how the use of animals will be used to speak, right, about, the work of darkness, the work of devil. And the truth is that you will not now take that narrative into every narrative of animals in scriptures. Are we together, right? It's just like the concept of water, sea, right? There will be the use of water to talk about people, use of water, use of sea to talk about nations, right? And there will also be a concept of water used to talk about something else. But for instance, the Spirit of God, right? Using as an illusion or a figurative expression or a pointer, right? To the Spirit of God, right? And can also be used to speak about nations and people and gatherings. Same thing with land. We said the work of the Spirit as well as people, nations, so to say. And again, there will be land physical in the Bible as well. That's speaking about portions of land. Right? So you just need to ensure that, on this journey, I beg you, in God's name, be patient, right? Be very patient. Very patient, very, 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 very patient. Now, no one is really claiming to you that they know all the answers. And when I mean no one, I mean myself. I was together. But the truth is that because it's a progressive journey, it means that we need to ensure we are very tolerating of ourselves, right? We need to ensure that we're very patient as well with ourselves. I was together. So one of the things you make as a mistake as a believer is to assume that everybody is at the same frequency and level and growth and pace like you are. Two people who are twins from the same father and mother can come into the same local church, right, on a single day, the same day for the first time, and their growth in 6 months will not be the same. Yeah, too many factors are involved. there's so many. Let's not keep listening or start listening at all, right? So many factors. One of the things I'll say to you is ensure you are very patient. Just be very patient, right? Just keep listening. Keep having your questions. Keep listening. When you have a question and it looks like, there's a sort of a feedback regarding that and saying, now hold on this narrative. Let's get there. Don't be too in a hurry, right? You see, I believe that if you've listened to us for a few days or a few weeks, in fact, if you've been in Gospel House for 2-3 months, right, let's assume 6 months for lack of better examples, or maybe a year, right? You have a lot to keep you in ministry, or to keep you active in ministry for another decade. You actually have. So make use of that. So work with that. You get that? Work with that, right? Work with it, right? Don't know everything about the man in Christ, salvation power of God, redemption power of God, redemptive power of God, redemptive plan of God, right? And you are not using it to make disciples, get people to reach, to read. You're saying, I have some friends who will say things like, the reason I don't preach is because I want people to understand, the truth is what you have, preach it. And eventually what you find with those kind of people is that when you even see people maybe who are even preaching from the little they have in the bus, maybe in a bus or a bus stop or on the street with the microphones, why is this man just Preaching false doctrine up and down. You see, a man can be genuinely called by God, innocently called by God, properly called and anointed of God, and his doctrine is not, as what you would expect. Doesn't change the fact that he's called of God and God is using him. The question is, when you see people like that, let it push you to see the possibilities you can. So you can't stay in one corner of the world and keep saying that, oh, remember we ended. We're gonna go there just now. 2 Corinthians 5. We ended on Sunday, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become, and all things are of God who has reconciled us back to himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, 7, 18. All things are of God who has reconciled us back to himself. Right? He now speaks about how he has given unto us a word that is a message of reconciliation. Now, as Christ as my ambassadors, I beseech you, right? Go ye therefore, right? Or you be reconciled, rather. Right? So you find out that the truth is at every phase of your Christian faith, you need to act on it. You need to act on it. There's a lot. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm just going to use this teaching to just remind you of that. What are you doing with what you've heard? Altogether, what are you doing with what you've heard? You've heard a lot of things, a lot of exegesis. You've explained this one. You've done. What are you doing with it? Right? Don't be the one who stays in this room and knows how to condemn every single person about how they are not reading, how they're not doing God's will, and rather because they're not as accurate in knowledge. No, that's not your work. That's not your responsibility. Altogether, right? You see, there's certain things we'll say today that will have a better and clearer understanding regarding that tomorrow. Altogether, that's why you ensure that the local church you find yourself, right, as long as you know that they are being sincere and being genuine with God's word, yeah, give it a little time. Be very patient. One of the problems we have in our generation is that lack of patience. You want to understand everything in a period, in a sitting. And why do you think, for instance, that I make it a point of this to repeat? I was together, right? Think about it this way. Imagine how many things in this series you can remember. Like if I call any of you, for instance, maybe tomorrow morning, right, and I just randomly ask you to explain this and that scripture, right? Okay, let's assume some of you get to a conclusion and understand that, or remember this is the conclusion we got to in church. But if I ask you to actually explain, how did we get there? It's not going to be the easiest of tasks to do for everyone, right? For some of you, it will be easy. Some of you, it might be easier than the others, But the truth remains that there is safety repetition, and don't get yourself, trying to understand everything on one sitting in one day. It can't work that way. It can't really work that way. Yeah, it can't. So, try to cut yourself some slack, and also cut your pastor some slack, right? And also cut your leader some slack, and also cut your disciples as well some slack, right? As a leader to disciple, disciple to leader, right? Because the truth is that God's word, God wants us to teach his word truthfully, right? And the truth is that we would have to be very patient. See, for a God who is a long-suffering God and a patient God, Peter will say that for the long-suffering of our God is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul has written in all his epistles, right? Yeah, for God to be a long-suffering God, it means you can't teach about a long-suffering God in a hurry. You've had to be patient. You've got to be patient. Altogether, right? You have to be patient. You have to be patient. So when you see that we're repeating, ensure that you're not just listening and assuming you know. I can tell you for free, a lot of things you think you know, you don't know them. That's the truth. It's not a bad thing. It's not a curse. But that's the truth, right? A lot of things you know, you think you know. Right, you actually don't. I remember a couple years ago, right? I remember when I first started, there was a scripture around in maybe probably Mark 4, Mark 5, that I got an explanation. I'd listened to it a couple times, so I thought I knew it until I found myself in the midst of some of my friends in the room of some of my friends, and I was asked to, and someone just asked the question, and just on the spot there, I just couldn't remember how I knew the conclusion. Do you understand? I just couldn't remember without having to go and look for my note or look for wherever I heard it from or wherever teaching I listened to it from, rather. And that's just the way it is, right? Yeah. You will just find out that there will be lots of things that are being repeated in gospel. That's intentional. It's intentional, very, very deliberate. So one of the things you find me do, for instance, as a person in my personal believing life, because I'm a believer as well, right, is to re-listen to messages, re-listen to, and like I always tell you, I listen to myself. In fact, I just might, if I'm not careful, I just might listen to myself more than any other person does. That's just the truth. Right, I just might listen to myself more than every other person does, right? And that's me saying what I'm saying, which is what they're learning from. So just have that attitude of, you can do a lot with what you already know. Do a lot with what you already have. altogether, right? Leave your house, leave your office, leave your comfort zone, walk out to the streets and go preach to somebody about God's love. Are we together, right? Preach to someone about God's love. Use the message of the man in Christ we've done, for instance, to teach and re-enlighten someone around what God's plan has been from time. Right? That's it. So let's go there. I quoted that earlier on. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah? Do a lot, rather, with what you already know. Very important. Do a lot with what you already know. It's very important, right? Don't get yourself in that, you know, that bandwagon of those who are listening or looking for what's the latest rhema, what's the new rhema, what's the latest rhema, what's the reigning thing? What's the reigning thing? What's the reigning? What's the in thing? What's the in thing? Altogether, you know that someone says something to you that is contrary to what you believed, and the person says it so eloquently, does not mean that what the person is saying is still correct. Altogether, right? So listen, you know, don't just, you know, be the first to go and, you know, look for a random believer. No. You know, you can have friends and colleagues and family members who you can sit down, you know, and converse on the things you are learning. Yeah, you can sharpen yourself with conversing on the things you are learning, just trying to explain to you, just like we do after every of our service. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, any man there will probably, you know, definitely show a concept of an open check. So any man, so any human, right, who eventually receives the message of the gospel. So any man, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So on account of being in Christ, you are considered as a new creature. The word the creature just really speaks about, you know, that which did not exist before, or that which is new in existence. Actually, that's what new that qualifies the creation. Creature, very important thing, right? Yeah, the word they knew that qualifies a creature just speaks about, you know, that which has not existed before. So new creation, there'll be that which does not have, you know, that doesn't have an existence prior, right? Or that which has not existed before, that which is new, right? So to say, right? Similar to what you have as new tongues, right? So all things are passed away. Bible now says, behold, all things are become new. Now, it lets you now see in verse 18 that all things are of God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, right? And had given to us the ministry. Altogether, the what? The ministry of reconciliation. Very important. So with that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, he had committed unto us the word. Now, the word, their word, is the word message, or the doctrine, or the teaching. The doctrine or the teaching, or you can say the message of reconciliation. Okay? Now then, verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:20, look into your Bibles. Okay? Now then, we are ambassadors. Now, that word ambassadors, right, can further be seen as a representative, okay? A representative for Christ, right? As though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Look at verse 1. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Altogether, that would be the righteousness of God in him. So look at verse 21 again. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, right? Reconciling the world. Now that word there, world, is the word humanity, right? Reconciling the world unto himself. Are we together, right? So it means that people in the real sense who have been reconciled are those who have been given a ministry. Are we together, right? So everybody, everyone, right, who is in Christ, so let me say differently. Everyone who is in Christ has been reconciled. Everyone who has been reconciled has a ministry. So there is no reconciled who doesn't have a ministry. And for you to have a ministry, it means you must be reconciled, okay? Yeah? So what's the task for you? To go ahead as co-laborers. Are we together? Yeah? Co-laborers. So Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, they looked forward to men who would co-labor with God in bringing his will to the earth. altogether, right, in bringing his will to the earth. So Abraham was a brilliant man of faith, beautiful man of faith, right? Abraham would be an example to us as to a man who would hear a message of the gospel and believe. Strong. Now tell us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9. It makes us see that Abraham was one who by faith he sojourned dwelling in tabernacles with his Isaac and Jacob, did the same as well, right? And in the real sense, he now says verse 11, for he looked for his city. That's Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10. He looked for his city which had foundation, whose builder, okay, listen to that carefully. So Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Are we together? Right? Whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. Now look at verse 24 of Hebrews 11. So Abraham looked forward to that city. Are we together? Right? Yeah? So you now see in Psalms 46, right, there's a river that makes glad the city of God. Are we together? For God is within her, she shall not be moved. Are we together? That's going to be a people, a community, right? Yeah. So those are people who have acquired lands, right? Lands that have lines that are falling into pleasant places for their sake on account of preaching the gospel, being disciples and models in the faith, in the Christian faith. Are we together? All right. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 24. It now says, by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? Chosen. That means when he became mature, when he began to have stature to be independent or possibility of being independent. That was his chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now look at what happens. That was his in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, our together, as greater riches than the treasures. Than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Altogether, so you'll find out that in all of the narratives of the patriarchs, who you call the patriarchs of faith, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, there was something they looked forward to, and there's something they looked and saw in their future, and they believed. They believed. And what did they believe? They believed in the fact that, God is doing a work in the earth. Altogether, God is supplying life and light into thick darkness, into the hearts of men. Very, 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 very important. Okay? Right? So, if you look through, let me show you something quickly in... John 3. Let me show you something quickly in John 3. Okay. So the man in Christ is a man whose sins have been forgiven. Is that correct? We saw 2-3 weeks ago that he is redeemed, right? We've been redeemed, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, right? He's been redeemed, right? He's saved, right? And let me just say that as a disclaimer right here. When it comes to a man being saved, a man that is saved eternally. Are we together? There's nothing like temporary salvation as long as it's Jesus that is giving. Everyone and anyone who has a temporary salvation, you can't trace the giving of that salvation as a gift to our Lord and Savior. No, it's not traceable to our Lord and Savior, right? Because John lets you see from Ephesians chapter 10, that the Father is greater than all. He has given, the sheep to me, really, and the sheep hear my voice and they obey me, the Father is greater than all. He now says that none can pluck these ones out of my hands. That means there's nothing that can separate us, like what Paul would say, Romans 8:32, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Or the tribulation. No, nothing. Right? But if you look at John 3, let me show you something in John 3 quickly. John 3:1. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew, right? And this man came by Jesus, or by nighty Jesus, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Sorry about that. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man But born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to be born again? Right? To be born again will mean to be born from an eye, from on high, to be born from above. That's the word there again, right? To be born from above. I would get that this does not emanate from the things. Altogether from above, rather. That's James 3, James 4, right? So it says, really, I say, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He cannot see the kingdom. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus now said unto him, well, how can I be born again when I'm this old? I'm an old man. Jesus now said in verse 5, John 3, really, I say, except a man be born of water. Altogether, and of the Spirit, I mean to say that is to say, which is to say, right, what I'm really talking about, or what I really mean is about the work of the Spirit. So can you see how we've used land to speak about the work of the Spirit? Yeah, we've used water to speak about the work of the Spirit. Altogether, I also said that water can be speak about nation. How do you know? Go to Genesis 2. Should I show you that today? Look at Genesis 2, okay. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, sorry. Genesis 2 verse, look at Genesis 2, 8. Genesis 2 verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, right? If you look through our series on Salvation 2021, right? If you just trace through it, some of the teachings we did there around Eden, right? And one of the things we said was that Eden, it just really means pleasure. Right, or delight, something that's pleasurable, something that's full of delight. So Garden of Eden, we said the word there, garden, is a Hebrew word that speaks about an enclosed sacred place, an enclosed, you know, a region, an enclosed sacred place that is sacred altogether. So Garden of Eden will be an enclosed sacred place of pleasure. Altogether. So, you know, one of the things we'll get to in our Bible interpretation is we'll get there some of these days, but we'll find out that God wants to make the entire earth his Garden of Eden. Yeah. Because that's where God wants to be. So that's his dwelling place, which you now call his body, which you now call his temple, which you now call heaven and earth, which is what you now call God's household or house. But God's plan really is to make the entire earth his heaven and his earth. We did a lot of study around that in 2021. Right? You'll be asking, why am I referring you a lot to 2021? Listen, so a lot of people who listen to us in 2021 are people who would have listened to us prior to an average of maybe 3, 4, 5 years before then. Yeah, maybe 3, 4, maybe there about plus years before then. So it means we're able to get to certain junctions, so to say, right, to say certain things, which we'll still come back to. I'm going to revisit. That's like the longest series we have as a church, Salvation, and it's just a part one. I think it has over 70 plus tracks. If I'm not mistaken, you know, way more than that, really. I'm going to pick it up again, probably in 2026 or 27, right? Let's just see how it goes next year or the year after. And just series or second season, for lack of a better word. So we have that as season one. So why do I always go back to that? Because we did a lot of introduction setting things in Genesis in that series, right? Salvation. So one of the things we taught there is about Garden of Eden. What exactly is Garden of Eden? Like we said, don't forget, we said that I said it in passing a few weeks ago. In that series, we have an extensive teaching as well, right? You could trace and track a teaching titled He Called Dressing the Garden. Yeah, probably Dressing the Garden, or How to Dress the Garden. Yeah, one of the things we saw was around, you know, the use of the words that were used to speak about dressing the garden were words used for priests, right, in the writings of the of Moses. Because, you know, one of the things we said as well, I'm trying to backtrack, but you know, when you want to backtrack, you have to backtrack before the backtrack, right? You know, one of the things we said as well is the fact that what would be the foundation of the background of Genesis, it's interesting to know that it's actually going to be Exodus. I would get that because the people that Genesis will be written to were already the people of Exodus. I would get that, right? So in one of the things we did was you'll find out that the background of the epistles will be, you know, even though it's like my slant on that, you know, might slightly, change a little. And why will I mean change? Just because of the argument from historians about how lots of the it hasn't changed, right? But how say it has changed, that's a better way to say it. And, you know, arguments from historians make us see that, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right, were written. Some of them were written even after some of the epistles were already in circulation. You understand that? So, you know, but on the grand scheme of things, when you talk about the events of the scriptures, yeah, the background of the epistles will still be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because imagine you just jump from the book of Malachi and the first thing you see is Romans. Paul, a servant of God. No. You'll be wondering, where did Paul come from? But you now realize that the background of Romans, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, we have, you know, the background will be the book of Acts of Apostles. We did this in that series, okay? Acts of Apostles, right, in that series. Then the background of Acts of Apostles will be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we speak about the physical interactions of Jesus with human race altogether, right? So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John will serve as a background. And that's what now you now see that will, you know, boomerang into Acts chapter 1, where it's written about Acts 1, 1, 2, 3, right, in the day which was taken, Acts 1, 2, 3, where he taught them for 40 days. Yeah, 40 days. And who is the he? Jesus. You have to find out that Jesus was not just born as a matured man. You go back to the Matthew Mark story narrative to see that he was born as a child, born from this family, and born from this lineage, right? So the background of the epistles will be the book of Acts. The background. What do I mean by that? Yeah, you look at a lot of the establishments of the churches, will be found their narratives and how they began will be found in the book of Acts. Yeah, Ephesus, who were disciples that went to Ephesus, you know, the Corinthians, you know, the Philippians, Macedonia, the churches in Asia, how those churches were founded. You know, we have a little of the narrative or the history around that in the book of Acts. So if you just jump to Galatians, you should know what is the root of Galatians, Colossians. Go to Corinthians, for instance. Paul says, you know, the Macedonians were in deep poverty. Where did the Macedonians come from? You have their root and their background in the book of Acts. So the background of the epistles will be the book of Acts. The background of Acts will be the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John account. I'm not talking about the writing of the literature. I'm talking about the events you will see particularly, but even at that, you can even add the, you know, slightly, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to say differently, right? You know, then on the back, on the so I'm not talking about the date of establishment of those books, but when you look at the narrative of what is written and the events as well, which I called context earlier on in our meeting today, right? And the background of that would be what you call Genesis and Malachi, but you can break that into bits. So you can say the background of that would be the writings of the prophets, right? The Ketuvims, we did all of that in that narrative as well. The prophets, you know, we can now talk about Joshua all the way to Malachi, but also still go backgrounds that you say the writings of Moses. But even though calling the writings of Moses Genesis to Deuteronomy, I understand. I understand that there's a lot of summary I'm doing. I'm just trying to tell you how we got to Genesis, you know, 2:8. Right. So even though you say the books of Moses or the writings of the books of Moses or the books or the writings of Moses or teachings of Moses, right, in that narrative, Moses will not be born until Exodus chapter. Moses born in Exodus chapter, it has to be Exodus chapter 3, if I'm not mistaken, because chapter 1, particularly chapter 1 to 3, just those three chapters, because chapter 1 speaks particularly about, you know, the Hebrew woman narrative that we've propagated around the world, right? So the background of that, you know, so think about Moses born in Exodus writing Genesis. So it means that Moses will be writing the book of Genesis, particularly with his audience in Exodus in mind. Okay, so when Moses says, and the Lord God planted a garden east of Eden, the question now becomes, what is the word that the Israelites will see as the word garden? Which is what I explained, for instance, on Sunday. You might not have, I hopefully you didn't miss it, right? When I was speaking about the image, right? I said image is from the word Selem. I said it can speak about representation. It has a comprehensive explanation to itself. But, you know, you can just give that very high level, you know, to that. So when you say, and God planted a garden east of Eden, altogether, and there he put a man whom he had formed altogether, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, right? He now says the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. So the tree of life will be found in the midst of the garden altogether. What is garden? Garden, what is garden? What is garden? What is garden? Right? In an enclosed space, that is a private space, okay, right? So there will be, what will be found in that private place is going to be life altogether. So what does God, now remember, the Garden of Eden will be a what? There's a word I used on Sunday. Hopefully you get it when I say it, right? But hopefully you got it before I said it, right? So if we said that Israel will be something that will give an example of what God wants to do in the entire earth, are we together? We now said something around the seed. We now said something about Christ and his body. We now said something around, you know, you use the word. I still use it again. This word is pilot. So it means Garden of Eden will also be pilots. Are we together? That's very interesting. How I came up with that concept of pilot, I'm sure it's because of one of the projects I'm working on. I was together because I've never heard it that way before, right? You know, so, but you know, there's that concept of the Garden of Eden being a pilot to what God wants to be in the earth, right? So the Garden of Eden is going to be a pilot as to what God wants the entire earth to be, his dwelling place, an enclosed space of what? Delight. You understand? Or pleasure. And what will you find in garden? Rather, in the Garden of Eden, you'll find his life, right? So what do you see in the Garden of Eden? Look at that carefully. It says, the Lord allowed God, and out of the ground, verse 9, Genesis 2, 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree, right? Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. It says the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Altogether. So where is the tree of life found? In the midst of the garden, right? So tree of life there is going to be a figurative expression. Altogether. For you know there is no tree that the name is life. Altogether. Yeah, you can't go to a farm and go and start planting and say, today you are planting mango, tomorrow you are planting watermelon, next tomorrow you are planting rice, and next up at the next day after, you are planting life. No. So it means that tree is used to speak about life. So we said something on Sunday, you can look at that narrative as, and there was such a thing called life represented as tree. And we said life as tree is another way to think about tree of life. One more time. Life as tree is another way to speak about tree of life. Are we together? All right. So is there a tree whose fruit is life? No. But tree is used to speak about life. Okay, right. So life as tree. Remember, I made a little very salient correction there. We said that it's better not to see it as life in Christ. No. Not say that. I'm sorry, life in tree. No, it's better seen as life as. So life is depicted as a tree, or tree is used to depict life. Okay, so there's a tree of life, right, in the midst of the garden, the place that is enclosed, are we together? And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? There's a tree of knowledge and good and evil. So what exactly is the tree that will be found, right? The tree that will be found will be the tree of life. In rejecting life as a tree in the illustration, you've accepted something else. Now we're together, right? So there'll be the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So it is knowledge of good and evil as a tree in the Garden of Eden. Are we together? And that will speak about knowledge, particularly if we look through properly. Now look at verse 10. I brought you here for a case, so don't forget that. Verse 10 now says, and a river went out of Eden. Are we together? A river went out of Eden. What is Eden? Garden of Eden. Eden. What will Eden speak about? A place of delight, an increased place of delight. But remember, it's going to be a pilot. Don't forget Sunday's teaching. It's going to be a pilot. You get that, right? So it's going to be a pilot to something else, right? So which is going to be about how the entire world, the nations of the earth will be filled with knowledge of his glory, right? So if you look at verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, okay? Watch that carefully, right? And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. It now says that the water, right, a river was parted and became into four heads. Watch that carefully. The name of the first is Pison, this, and that which is compassed by the whole land of Avila, right, where there's gold, right, and the gold of that land is good. There is Bdellium, an onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is that compassed the whole land of what? Ethiopia. Okay, together, right? And the name of the third river, Hedekel, and that which goes to the east of Assyria. So you know Assyria as a place in our world today. You know Ethiopia as a world and our place today. Imagine that being in existence right from Genesis. I was together. And the fourth river, Ephraim. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to what? To dress it and to keep it. So what is the responsibility of the man? To dress and to keep. What is that ministry? Listen to what I'm about to say. So let's assume your theology teaches that before a man, right, is found or as worthy to be a husband, for lack of better illustrations of what we keep in our world. If your theory says or theology says or teaches that a man needs to have a job, Are we together? Before he's marriageable, right? Let's assume you're saying that, oh, before you look at man, just what does he have an income? What can he feed you? Can he take care of you? What is it exactly about you? Can he take care of yourself? Are we together, right? You know, you can actually have that. You know, people just like to paint different, you know, narratives, different coins that float their boats depending on what the narrative is. Yeah, today you're a feminist, tomorrow you're a feminist star, next tomorrow you're a less feminist, next tomorrow you're a humanist, next tomorrow you're a naturalist. I just said new one, right? Yeah, I believe in nature. I just believe in nature. Naturalist, right? So I'm just trying to say that, let's assume that's your narrative. Yeah, the truth is, if you want to pick that narrative with this knowledge you have right now, let it be that the man is found in ministry. I go together. Let it be that the man is found in, I'm saying it as your theology, that for you as a woman, before you get married to someone, you must have work what he's doing. For instance, and you remember, you now quote that, for instance, Adam had what he was doing, dressing and keeping the garden. That's farming. I don't understand. The question, where on earth was... Plunge me away. Don't worry. Take that. Let me not get troublesome this time. Okay. So if he is in ministry, does he have a job? Then I mean, that should be your theology around that concept on a very interesting level. And I'm not saying you should go and be. Don't get what I'm not saying. Well, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Now, in that series in 2021, Salvation is titled Salvation, God's Great Plan. It's not on Spotify, not on any other platform. It's strictly on our website. Okay? Now, one of the things we said that to dress and to keep there are words that were used for the priests. Who is a priest? We saw that on Sunday. A servant. Altogether, right? They were words used for the work a priest will do in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the holies of holies, in the, you know, outer court, all of those narratives. We looked at that in that series. So Adam was to be a priest unto God. Altogether. He was supposed to be a priest unto God, right? But if you look through, you know, what I'm showing you right here, I just took you all here to see that, you know, what are you speak about, you know, division and extension into various lands, into nations. So if you go back to John 3, it says, except a man be born of water, right, and of the Spirit. That's a different thing. But, you know, you can also link it to the fact that water will speak about nations and what the Spirit of God is doing in the midst of nations. But I'm trying to say, just ensure that you stay within the confines of each context to see how well your narrative flies. Right? And now says, if he's not born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So who is the man, I read together, that can enter into the kingdom of God? Entering into the kingdom of God is going to be a man who is in Christ, because you're entering into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. I read together, right? His reign, his rule. Are we together, right? You know, one of those is, look at that, Basilia, the kingdom. What exactly is it about the kingdom? Is kingdom about a geographical location, right? But you just find out that, you know, that speaks a lot around ruling, reigning. Are we together, right? So you said, as a man born again, he cannot enter, cannot rule and reign with, are we together, or in, right, the kingdom of God. Now, you see that if you look through that narrative very well, you find out that, you know, the man that is, whose sins have been washed away. By how has the sin been washed away? By the giving of God's Spirit. So God's Spirit in man, right, washes man clean from his sins. And when that Spirit washes man clean from the sin, that man becomes the man under the dominion, influence of the kingdom of Christ, or of Christ, or of God's kingdom. Now, together, God's kingdom, that's very, very, very important. Don't forget, right? How will God achieve that on the earth? It is you and I taking our hands to labor. Are we together, right? Yeah, God teaching your hands to war. Are we together? In, through, with the gospel. In, through, with the gospel. Very, very important. I would get that. Very, 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 very important. Right? So, you know, if you look at... if you look at John 14. John 14. Let's look at John 14. Excuse me. John 14, Look at 15. That says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, look at 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, one thing you must not see here is, I will pray unto the Father. I will pray to the Father. What you see there is, I will pray the Father altogether. So it's not God Jesus going through a prayer mission, or God Jesus as the Son of God going to a prayer mission to pray to God as the Father. Okay, right. So if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able to abide with you forever. Yeah, what's the another comforter here? It's the exact comforter that was given to wash away your sins in John 3. Altogether. So you have a comforter, right, given to you to wash away your sins in John 3, so that you'll be equipped. So it means that the work of the Spirit in your heart is not just to make you clean, make you righteous, make you holy. No, he has, don't forget the song. He gave his very best. He has given you and I his very best. So we have God's best on our inside. Through the best of God on our inside, we will do miraculous, thunderous, wonderful, mighty things. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. With the word the another there, we said it's a word, alos, alos, alos. Right? Yes. So alos will speak about that which is the same, right? Comforter there, you know, is another very, 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 very important narrative we're going to venture in our next series. So it is another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Right? If you now look through verse 20, right? Verse 18, verse 20, verse 18, right? And I will not leave you comfortless, right? I will come to you. Are we together? Right? So Jesus dwelling in our hearts by his spirit. Are we together? Very, very important, you know, in fact there. And who are those who Jesus can dwell in their hearts? They are the men who Jacob saw in his vision. That is the men in Christ. Are we together? The men in his work, the men in the crystals, the men in the anointed, the men in the vision of Jacob, the men in the promise made to Abraham. Are we together? The men who are in the seed, Christ Jesus. Altogether. If you go to chapter 16, look at chapter 16 carefully. Verse 1, chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogue, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they doeth God's service. Look at the stuff. You see that, what a parable there. Interesting. It says, whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Right? If you look at verse 12, where I'm going to today, say, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Look at that, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, altogether, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide. Praise God. He will guide. He will provide guidance. I was together. Comfort we saw earlier in chapter 14. He will guide you. Altogether, into all the truths, or into all truths, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me, because I go, excuse me, to the Father. So the reality of the new birth in us is actually the indwelling of the Spirit. The reality of who we are in Christ is actually the indwelling of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit in us. So the Spirit of God lives in us means that qualifies us to be called men in Christ. That means, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what that really means is, therefore, if any man allows the Spirit of God to come into his heart, who is he? He's a new creation, a new creature, a new creation, a species that has not existed before. That means you are considered as new. Praise God forevermore. All together, considered as new. Look at how Paul teaches this. Look at how Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6:16. I hope you're listening today, following today, being instructed today, and I hope that this was has been edifying so far as a series. It says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members in particular, right? Shall I take a member? If you look at verse Okay, let me not go to that. Verse 15, know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Are we together? Shall I then take a member of Christ and make them the member of an allot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to the allot is one body? For two said he shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Altogether, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You know, it says flee fornication, everything that a man doeth is without body. You know, it goes, it says verse 19, what? Know ye not that the body, that your body is in temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you go to chapter 12, the same First Corinthians 12, and look at verse 13. First Corinthians 12, verse 13. It is, for by one spirit we are all baptized into what? Into one body. Being baptized into that one body means we are baptized into his work, into his resurrection, that is, into that which is Christ's. Altogether, we're baptized into Christ. It says, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, very important, whether we're Jews or Jew or Gentiles, whether we'll be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit, right? Yeah, being born of water and spirit. So can you see how the Bible teaches about the work of the Spirit, uses, you know, being drinking of water, right? Because if you look at John 7, we didn't see that today. John 7, right? Jesus stood and said unto them, if anyone is thirsty, John 7, 37, let him come unto me and drink. For the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I went together, right? But he's speaking of the Spirit, which was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's John 7, 37 to 39, right? So that the Spirit of God spoken about how we need to, how a man needs to drink. Which man? The man that wants to be in Christ. This one now says what? We have been made to drink into one spirit. But what you now see how Ezekiel 36 will show you that narrative. It will make you see it from an angle of, you know, being sprinkled with water. Ezekiel 36:26, sprinkled with water, washed with water, which actually all speaks about the work of the Spirit. So verse 13:12 of 1 Corinthians says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bonds or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit, right? For the body is not one member, but many. So one body they will speak about, we have one identity. We are in Christ. So it means if you are in Christ, I'm in Christ, we have the same identity. Our identity is the identity of in Christ. That's our ID card, identity, right? Our identity is that we have, you know, his seal on our heart, the seal of the Spirit. You see, seal is when it's supposed to speak, seal again is to speak about the work of the Spirit. Yeah, so we have a seal. We are now identified in one body, one spirit. Just really means the Lord and the believer, right? We are now joined as one, in one, as one. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, right? So why are we similar? It's so that when I'm doing a task, I am doing a task, when it comes to the ministry of reconciliation, you are not thinking I am more advantageous over you, or you are more advantage, or you have an advantage over me. No, you have the Spirit, I have the Spirit. Mind you, I'm not talking about responsibilities amongst the saints in the local church, in the body of Christ. No, talking about when it comes to the work of reconciliation. Don't forget, you see, the ministry that everyone has is the ministry of reconciliation. Altogether, right? So the ministry of reconciliation is that which every single believer has, right? And it's something that we need to pay attention to, such that in the coming days, right, you allow that to be the forefront of your mind. Yeah, the ministry, anywhere you find yourself, ensure that it's a task on your hands, a task that you try to fulfill, that you are preaching, that you are winning souls, that you are bringing men into his love, bringing men into his kingdom. And I'll close here. So if you trace back to all we've said in this series, one of the things that you must never forget is the fact that your identity has changed the moment you become born again. And that simply means that you are a man identified rather as a man in Christ. Altogether, you are identified rather as a man in Christ. That's your identity. That's where you are from. Altogether, that's your identity. That's where you are from. Altogether, you are known and seen as one who is righteous, who is holy, who is blameless, who is saved eternally, just because are we together? Just because you are born again, just because you are saved, just because you are redeemed, just because you are, you know, you are righteous. It means that you have accepted of God's plan from time. Don't forget, we said that God's plan from time has been to shine his light in the midst of darkness. Or we can say differently, to shine his light in the midst of chaos. Right, so the world, the earth was without form and void. We saw that on Sunday. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are we together? Right, and God said, "Let there be light." God said, and there was light. So, what was Jesus saying in the midst of the shrines and thick darkness in Matthew 16? Let there be light. Are we together? Let there be light shining in the darkness. Let there be light shining in the nations. Oh, let there be light. Yeah, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light. That's the message of the gospel. Yeah, that a man receives of his light. In receiving of his light, you know, John will now teach you in him was life, and life was a light to men. Altogether, right? And the light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend. You see, find a way in your heart, find it in your heart, such that you know you prioritize the ministry of reconciliation you've been given. Like, you know, in God's palace, what do we teach as ministry? What Bible teaches as ministry? Is it beautiful to be the one that, you know, arranges the church before church service? You are in charge of the cables, in charge of the laptop, in charge of the piano. Beautiful stuff among the saints. Service needs to be done among the saints. But see, much more than that, it's actually what you are doing with your life. Don't get yourself all mixed up and thinking that God should understand. Let me tell you something. God does not understand your frivolous excuses. No. Together, God doesn't understand that. There's nothing like God understands. No. He has given you all that you cry. You just need to be the one to create time. What time are you creating for the things of the kingdom? What time are you creating for the things of God? What time are you creating, you know, for the things that God has called you to do? Let me tell you, dear saints, another month has just gone by. It's January. What did you do for the kingdom? Altogether, was the only time you went out to preach this month the time we went out as a church to preach? Check your heart, check yourself. Altogether, check your heart, check yourself, right? What have you done with what you've heard? What have you done? Remember, that's why I got into in the middle of our teaching today. What have you done? Have you acted on it? Are we together? Have you acted on it? What have you done? You don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse. Are we together? You don't have any excuse, right? So ensure that another month approaches. In a few, 2-3 days' time, we're talking about a new month. This is 2025. We said Happy New Year to ourselves a few hours ago. We're here again as well, 29th of the month, right? 1 month has gone out of 12, 1/12. What have you done regarding the kingdom? And I want to say to you today, and even if you haven't done as much, right, another month becomes, another life starts, yeah? You can leave your comfort zone. I want to get that. Leave your comfort zone. Let me tell you something. Serving Jesus will not always be comfortable. In fact, more often than not, right, doing his will particularly would come with a lot of discomfort. You discomfort yourself, you discover where you put your head to sleep, you discomfort your space, you discomfort your, you just be in discomfort for the sake of the kingdom. You see, don't allow anybody to make you, you know, feel all recent, all modern, all up to tight, you know, yeah. I don't do all those things. No, you are not serious. All together, when you have that slant, you are not the one who is termed as an unserious believer. Right, you see, there's going to be something called the judgment seat. Are we together? Right, and your works, right, will be put right in front of you, and there will be the audience of one in whom you will give account to. Are we together? In whom you will give account to. Don't let these words, you know, be empty words that just fall on your heart every day. The Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? Yeah. So there's a God who has reconciled us back to himself. Now he has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So you are that man, you are that woman with the ministry. Are we together? Your career should not take the place of ministry as number one. Are we together? Your career should not take place of ministry as number one. In fact, let me say it again, right? You know, like I said, there's a service in local church. There's the act of ministry of reconciliation, right? Nothing should take that heart and attitude, are we together, of ministry. Don't use an excuse for your service in local church. You get to church at 9:15, 9:14, 9:13. Oh, praise God, beautiful. It's not one or the other. It's both of them, actually, right? With emphasis on ministry, right? What's that message of reconciliation? Are we together? What's that teaching of reconciliation? What are you doing with the message of reconciliation? What are you doing with it? right? Therefore, in Christ's stage, I beseech you. Are we together, right? Yeah, that ye be reconciled. That means because we have a message, we now go out around beseeching people. Ah, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. Yeah, you have a walk at 9 from 9 o'clock. You walk from 9 o'clock to 6 p.m. Are we together? You walk from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Right? Are you together? Right? That's not an excuse. Are we together? Right? You see, a man who is, like I said a few weeks ago, a man who is a president, right? As long as he wants to do, see, God is not going to say, I understand that you are ruling the biggest nation in the world. That's why you don't do mission. No, I exempt you. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. You know, I always tell you, don't always look around for people who you know you are doing better ministerially. If all your, in all your, let me say it clearly, if in all your friends you are the most devoted, see, you don't have any friend that can spoil you, you are in trouble. You don't have any friend who you look at and say, you are in a serious trouble. Very, very serious trouble. I'm not talking about a friend. A friend does not necessarily mean someone who knows you. You just have somebody you relate with, you talk with, who you know. Are we together, right? Is going above and beyond for the things of ministry. A lot of us like to go above and beyond for our wives, for our husbands, you know, but never go above and beyond for the kingdom. Let me tell you something for free. The only thing that matters at the end is not your husband, is not your wife, is not your daughter, is not your son, is not your grandchild, is not your great grandchildren. No, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is actually that which God has called you to do, his purpose on the earth, all together, right? You see, a man can decide not to have a family, a woman can decide not to have a family, a woman can decide not to have a child, all together. In all your decision, there's that which you should not put at the back bench or the back seat. No matter your decision, there's that which you don't put at secondary. It's first place. It's first place. It's first place. I'll close with this example. I shared it with the leaders in the leaders' retreat, you know, that we had earlier in the year. You know, and there's a man called Dr. Omar Pai, right? You know, I can't remember the exact number of children, but you know, I heard of the story of him going, you know, to go minister somewhere, and on his way to his ministration, right? His car had an accident, right? And they fell into a water, and got into a water. I can't remember the exact details. I heard the story for the first time 2000 and probably maybe 10 or 11, if I'm not mistaken, or even earlier than that, right? And, you know, and then on a single day, right, he lost two of his children, is it two or three? I can't remember the exact number, but it's definitely not one, probably two or three. I can't remember the exact number on one single day. Guess what? He did a birthday recently, a couple of weeks ago, over 80, right? If I'm not mistaken, probably over 80 or 80, something 83, right? And he's still been serving Jesus right from there. Let me tell you, your car can go, your house can go, your job can go. We hope and pray it doesn't go. You get the point? We hope and pray it doesn't go. People lose family members. People lose relatives. We hope and pray it doesn't go. What will matter to the man, and what should matter for the man in Christ, is what are you doing with ministry? You see, don't allow life to be the one that pushes you to understand certain facts about life. Just watch around you. You know, and that keeps warming my heart. Keeps warming my heart, because how can a man, right, lose two of his children? He's been an evangelist before that even happened. An evangelist for months, what am I saying, months, decades, years before then. And in the midst, everybody will have tribulation. People will have what they are going through. Are we together? You don't want me to start telling you things. Are we together that I will be going through as a person as well? But you know, there's such a thing called watching the example ahead of you. And that's why you have a pastor. And that's why we have other people who are doing ministry accordingly as well. We have the examples of those in scriptures. We have those who have given us examples. It's been able to watch those examples. You know, but even we as leaders, we watch those examples and pastors to saints, right, to also show how to give an example to you all. And he lost two of his children. Like I said, that is a news I need to double check. I probably, you know, was supposed to even do that after the retreat. You know, and from that moment till today, still fervently serving Jesus, dealing with the camp of the devil. What matters? It's not your household first, not your family first. Are we together? And that's not me trying to say you should be silly. No. It's nothing else. It's ministry. That's what God has called you for, right? To co-labor with him in what? Acquiring lands, rather, right? Co-labor with him in acquiring lands, in getting men into his work, into his kingdom. Very important. I'm going to leave you with that today. Very, 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 very important. Remember a few years ago, running into 7, 8 years already, right? I heard the news of my dad's passing. Are we together? On a Saturday and the next day on a Sunday, right in church, and from then to today, not missed a single service, either Sunday, not one. Are we together? If for any reason I've missed anyone, it's because I've gone on a special meeting. So it's not even really missing, because I'm actually doing something spiritual. But not that I've not been to church in a week, at least two times. At least I've not done ministry. I've not done, you know, the things of God at least twice since that day. I didn't say a week after. I didn't say maternity break or paternity break or bereavement break. No, straight away. I was together. Not because I don't miss my dad. I miss my dad every single day. Miss my father every single day. I'm only here because of the labor of a man like that. I was together. But you see, regardless of that, what matters is ministry will continue. Ministry. So don't allow all I've said to you today to stay at the back of your head. Don't allow all I've said to you to stay at the front of it. No, act on it. Take yourself out of your comfort zone. You will leave your house on days to ensure you just want to get another man delivered from the bondage of trap, the bondage and trap rather of the devil. That's why you are a man in Christ. That's why you are the man in Christ. That's why you are one who is in Christ, right? Who has been called into a ministry. Very, very important. As a local church, that's what we believe strongly. That's what we hold on to strongly, right? That ministry is forefront. Ministry is first. Are we together? Why do we believe that? It's strictly because we've not been able to teach from the Bible that any other thing or should be any other way. Yeah, we've not been able to get to that conclusion that it should be any other way from what we call, you know, the single truth, source of truth for our Christian faith, the Bible. Well, I hope this instructs your heart. Act on this. Another weekend comes, another week comes again. Don't just stay in the house. Don't just be in your house. Leave your house. Leave your comfort zone. Right? If you think, oh, it's very difficult for you to go out every time, just take out a day and just take out 3 hours on the streets, 4 hours on the streets, and get yourself preaching. Why? Because you are the man in Christ who has been given the task to acquire. And let me tell you something. There is nothing of those things you would do that should affect your Christian conviction, your career progression or your family or your life or any other thing that you want to achieve in life. Well, I hope that brings peace to your heart. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. And I hope that you've been instructed by that. We'll pick it up again on Sunday. And I'm trusting God that, you know, you will act on the words you heard today and you do accordingly, right? So we're going to start a new series, Christian Meetings, on Sunday. What exactly is it about Christian meetings? What exactly is it about, you know, why we gather every week? And also, what exactly is it about special gatherings? What do we mean by special gatherings, right? Right? And some of those things, we'll talk about them, you know, starting from Sunday. Well, I wish you a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful night rest. Have a lovely, lovely night rest. Stay joyful, right? Stay in God's peace, right? Allow God's word to radiate or meditate, permeate, rather, your heart. Right, stay joyful, stay rejoicing, but stay in God's peace. But much more than, you know, everything in all of that, rather, stay focused in the work that God has called you to do, His work of ministry. I love you all so dearly. I'll see you all on Sunday. Have a good night. For those of you who have the cell meetings towards the end of the week as well, ensure that, you know, you attend and just get yourself edified in God's word. Have a lovely week. Cheers, love you all.